When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
And we're together in the garage.
Hey! Yay!
Come on, it's been a long time.
It's been 3 weeks. Shouldn't have left We've you. Not seen each other. Honestly, it's been like a reunion.
Yeah.
It's been like a reunion tonight. Welcome to the Brown Note, everybody.
This is the longest we've been away from each other in a long time since COVID, I think.
Yep. It's just happened that as you probably all know, the last 3 weeks have all been online podcasts. So now we're in the garage. Garage door is a little bit open, may I just add, because it's a warm night.
Yeah. Satch was saying that it's getting a little bit sweaty.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, let me aid you.
But this is a down south thing, because I've just come from Scotland and it was not sweaty up there.
Oh, wasn't it?
No, it chucked it down on Saturday when I was in Manchester. Birmingham Saturday, Manchester Sunday, Glasgow Monday.
And it was raining the whole way.
And it
was a stormy one this weekend, you know that?
Up there were people driving. They were saying they pulled over because they just couldn't see.
Oh.
And yet we got a heat wave down here.
Well, yeah, we're in the midst of the heat wave.
In this little country.
When this podcast gets released on the Thursday, we'll be basking.
Do you know what? I don't like it when we meet up after a few weeks.
Why?
Because, like...
It's carnage.
God, no, I know what he's going to say.
It is. We're not in the swing of things, lads.
No.
We got it.
No, we're swinging.
No, hang on. Let me start the story at the beginning. Because Kedge was like... I want to come here early. Let's get some food. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, lads, I want to be there. I've got a busy day. I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock today.
Which is when we normally start recording.
You didn't want to... let me finish the story.
You've got to finish the story. Wait. Okay. Hold on.
So anyway, Tommy.
Objection, Your Honour.
Pulled up on the driveway. This prick ain't even here.
Yeah.
And I was just like...
Yeah.
Have they popped out to get something?
Yeah. So Satch has basically said, I'm not doing food. I'm going to get there for 8. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Kedge has gone, so Tommy, what are we saying?
Yeah.
And I felt bad. I was cutting the grass and I just got back and I was spending time
with
the boy.
For what?
No, I didn't respond to him. And I was like, and then I was like, I'm up for food. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I've had a kind of busy day out in the garden as well and all that. I'm like, what are we having? You go, I'm fairly easy. So he's working on the plans. Mm. But then he didn't show up. He literally turned up.
That's what I mean. And I was just then.
We parked up together.
Yeah, well, that's a problem because you said, I'm going to get there early. We're going to go get food.
Yeah. I thought you were going to come in for food.
Yeah, exactly. We already figured out what the plan was for the food.
But there's still the plan was for you two to get your food issues done before I even got there so we can come in there.
There was no mention of that. I think in your head we thought, in my head I always thought we were going to cut into podcasting time.
I think you assume that because that's how you thought, well, I'm not getting there any earlier because I'm not going to get my ass into gear.
I think Satch assumed the wrong thing there. Do you know what I mean?
An
assumption is the mother of all, as we all know.
You threw something else into the equation. Why is that cutting into my podcast time?
Yeah.
I thought.
No, you thought wrong.
No, I just.
That's me saying to Tommy, you know that thing that we're going to go and do?
Yeah.
We'll go do it. It'll take 3 hours, but it's going to cut into podcast time.
Yeah.
But my assumption.
And you made
all
that up in your head.
My assumption was that Satch would play ball and he'd be
the
fun Satch.
No, but early days.
We got angry Satch.
I said to you today, I was like, boys, I'm not going to make it. Usually, Tommy, I'm the first one to say, Tommy, I'm here. I'm going to be here early or whatever.
Yeah.
Today, I thought we get playful.
It's not going to
happen. 8 o'clock is when I'm going to get there.
But then you know when he said chicken, what do you call it? What was it? Chicken, what did you have?
Butter chicken.
And I thought, that's going to soften his palate up a little bit. And you just were rock solid. You weren't having it.
I just wanted to just get on with it. So just we're here at 9:30 now.
No, it's 9:30 now and we've just started recording. So we're an hour and a half.
I got here at before 8.
But
we were
having a little bit of gup shop. We were doing, we did eat then. And Kedge said, what can I eat? And I'd only made butter chicken. Actually, I made two types of chicken.
Mm.
I made a butter chicken and a normal tarka chicken, right? Because Logan wanted one, Milo wanted the other. And I'm that dad. I'm sorry, right?
Yeah.
But I said, Kedge, I have got sarg made and frozen.
Mm.
I said, let's do the defrost.
Let's do it.
And he was like, I am in. And what was the brand of Shana?
Shana, but you got the Shana roti.
Shana rotis. and we were banging them out.
Oh.
But you got down on that as well then in the end.
Yeah, but again, I was only because...
He melted in the end.
No, it wasn't that. You guys like added
butter chicken in my hand.
I was ready to come here, podcast, bang, on my way, 9:30 in the car, gone. But now we're here.
I'm like what Anthony needed a bit of bonding time today. You know, like it's been a while. I missed you guys and I just wanted to do a bit of gup shop and, you know, just all catch up on all the
nonsense. I ain't got time for no.
You know what it was? Satch, you just wanted a quick bang. You wanted a quick, he was like, look, I've taken off my trousers. I'm ready. And Kedge's there like, I want to talk first.
I was still looking for the Keith Sweat
CD. I can't get into the mood unless we're connected spiritually.
I was looking for Keith Sweat CD. We ain't even Keith started.
He wanted you to put on your Issey Miyake and your Eternity or whatever it is. Right?
Versace blue jeans.
Right?
Versace blue. Only £15, by the way, now in boots.
What?
Versace blue jeans. It's only £15. It's like it's so cheap, but I don't know if I can go back to that smell ever again. What was that smell?
It was the smell of the '90s. That's what it was.
I don't think you can wear that now.
It was those times.
What is it? What's the go-to smell now? Sauvage.
Sauvage.
Sauvage. Oh, yeah.
No, so what's Sauvage?
I was like, what?
That sounded like it was born in Gujarat. What? Sauvage.
Yeah.
Sauvage,
isn't it? Sauvage. No, I don't know if you can do that. It's the wrong song to parody.
It makes me laugh every time I see it when I'm like in duty free or something.
Dior Sauvage.
Yeah, Dior Sauvage.
No, Sauvage.
And is that the Johnny Depp?
How's it spelled?
Sauvage. It's French. Sauvage.
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 No, because then you'll need Caniston to put on it. But anyway.
Yeah. You're Sauvagetarian, aren't you, kid?
So anyway, yeah. I got here before Kedge when he was meant to get here before me. It was nice to sit down and eat, but I just wanted to get on with it today. Come on. You know how last week I was doing a podcast from my bed. That's how busy I've been.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm telling you, it still hasn't stopped.
Honestly, then I'm a tub
and
I thought
can that I also it. Say that I got two people who messaged me saying, well, hey, we got Satch in bed this week. And I was like, my God.
I know, people messaged
people
me.
People are getting excited.
What was that thing on Big Breakfast when they used to interview people on the bed? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And that was like, that was sexy.
Yeah, but Denise Van Outen. Denise Van Outen.
Was it Paula Yates? I want
to
say.
Oh, Paula Yates was the original one. Yeah. And Denise Van Outen. They used to interview them on the bed.
And that was like everything
that week, last week. It was just, I'm still not stopped. But yesterday, I woke up at 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
Wow.
What time did you go to bed, though?
That's not like me.
Yeah, but what time? You went to bed?
No, but regardless of whatever time I go to bed, I'm still awake. 1
p.m. the day before.
9 o'clock, you're normally up.
Yeah, so even if I go to bed at 4, 5, 6, I'm still up at 9. Like, right. That's it, and getting on with your day.
A busy weekend then? Busy bank holiday weekend?
Since I last spoke to everyone on the podcast, I've not stopped.
Oh, man. It's been pretty full on here as well.
Yeah, well, talking about full on, can we just also address the elephant in, not in the room anymore, but the fact that when we were sat down for an all-lads meal, I was sort of kind of thrusted.
He's going back to the sore point. That's what he's doing.
I was kind of thrusted a salad into my face by
my wife.
By your missus.
So,
can we explain that? Okay. Because Tommy was so dearly giving me the beautiful salad. And honestly, I don't eat that much.
So let me tell you, right? So recently, my wife has been saying, we're not eating right. We need to change the way we eat.
Oh, it's one of them ones.
And it is. We've been all over the place. Summer holidays, routine. Yeah. Kids are at
things
home.
Things change.
Yeah, you're just eating on the go. Plus, you're out with the kids. They want crap food. Mm. You end up eating that as well.
Of course,
it's pizzas and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So she's like, right, sort it out. Okay. So obviously, I'm away all this weekend. So I'm like,
he's not sorting out.
Yeah, so I wasn't sorting out. But then she was out and about. We went. Mm. She came with me to Birmingham, and she was there for that bit. And then I went on to Manchester and Glasgow. Mm. But she's got home. She's gone right. Got to sort my diet out.
Sort it out.
She's made like a couscous and chickpea mint and feta salad.
With pistachio.
Add pistachio nuts in it.
Pistachio.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That got me a little bit nervous.
Yeah. Well, so she likes it. And it's good food. And actually, when you do eat it, you feel like, it's clean food going in.
Yes. It is clean food, yeah.
But then I'd obviously made butter chicken, tarka chicken, and I've defrosted the saag.
I mean, man's rolling in with a bowl of saag.
And I'm doing all the roti and pronti like on the tava, as you guys are coming in. And then she's going, who wants to try my salad?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I think I'm a fun.
It wasn't who wants to try my salad.
Oh yeah,
She came to me. She came for me first.
It doesn't go. Now listen, I think I'm a fun person to live with. Right, in general, I'm a fun person.
Yeah, no, I'd love to.
But I'm also, I'll be honest. My downside is I'm quite particular.
Yeah.
I like things a certain way. And I'm like, that chickpea salad doesn't go.
Doesn't go.
But right?
I didn't have the guts.
He didn't have the balls.
Right. You think I did? I just stayed there by the summer.
Yeah, like, I'll try it. But then she's like, because I liked it. Yeah, she forced it on.
And she's that woman. She's like, she'll lean over you like, while you're eating it. Like, and is it? What's it like now?
Yeah, I did feel like the eyes were on me.
Tell me about it. Because I'm going to just tell it. It's not a lie. She listens to the podcast. Yeah. She doesn't do cooking, right? So when she does so make something,
Kedge has like a full.
I do 99.9%.
I've got a full bowl.
I went Brashad.
He went Brashad level. I ended up with a full bowl.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
And then I saw the pistachio. I'm like, oh, this is not sitting with me.
You know what? No, no. It was nice. It was nice.
It was nice.
It was nice.
But you know when someone's giving you sag? And the roti, and I made a little rice.
But you, do you know what, kid? You just needed to try a bit and be like, yeah, it's nice. That's it.
Yeah. So you're right, but mixing up. But I got my angst is like, it doesn't go. What's the point?
Yeah. I was doing the same thing inside.
As a little starter though.
Yeah, that's right.
I was doing the same thing.
You know when you get to a wedding and you get the little portion outside, right? But then Kedge got served the big dunga inside.
Yeah, the same thing. Yeah.
Honestly, it was the big dunga, whatever that is. Not the Brazilian player.
I got it in one of those bamboo boats. Yeah.
You got the full patilla.
She gave me a bowl, but I didn't use it.
Yeah, technically. Satch was better equipped because he saw the bucket I go first. That's why.
No, he does so many weddings.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not new to this. Yeah, no.
And then she gave me an O. Henry. Right, which is a chocolate from...
She went Canada, didn't she?
So she made up for it.
She's like, it's nice. It's a little
sticky. Do you know that name? When you said an O. Henry.
No, I don't know what it is.
I don't think people at home would not know right now.
O. Henry.
But she had little piece versions of it in a big bag, and it was quite nice. So I took her.
Yeah, she made up for it because she got me a Reese's little.
I don't like that stuff.
Oh, I love Reese's.
That does nothing for me. I'm not a Reese's fan.
No, only Reese's peanut butter one. I love that. You know, you get two in a tray. Oh, bang.
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever had one.
Obviously, it's Canada, but like Hershey's and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, that's like Uldi in a wrapper.
I had a friend called Hershey.
Hershey?
Yeah.
Is it?
It was like a Hershey.
Hershey sing love.
Yeah, Hershey
and a Hershey.
Hershey, where's your Hershey? Hershey, where's your Hershey? Da 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 da. If he was, why would he have to get his Hershey out? Get your Hershey out, Hershey.
Get your Hershey out.
If he was a chef, Chef Hershey's Hershey would be a great cast.
That's the name Hershey's of a show. Hershey's Hershey.
Hershey Gushy. Ooh, Hershey Gushy. Hey, Hershey Gushy. I love that. I don't know why that is. Hershey was the kid who lived across. He's a doctor now.
Oh, was he?
You know, when you're on a street with a kid and you know that they're the smart family.
Yeah.
It's just they just like the dad's a doctor.
Yeah.
The sister's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Hershey's a doctor.
Hershey's a surgeon.
Hershey's a surgeon.
Sorry. Hershey surgeon.
But back to the food. Tommy, outstanding.
Outstanding.
Yeah? Outstanding.
Thanks, absolutely. Man.
Butter chicken, beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm getting solid. Milo
Matova loves butter chicken. It's got no spice in it. Butter chicken is literally tomato, nuts, garam masala.
No need.
It doesn't take much. A bit of garlic and ginger and kasuri methi. Right, that's lovely. The key.
The kasuri methi, by the way, because I made madar paneer, Punjabi style.
Yeah.
And that, for me, was the game-changing thing that I put in it, which I don't normally put.
Yeah, that does.
And I bigged up the lady who I copied the recipe from.
Who's
the
lady?
Replied, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but I will let everyone know. But it was a proper Punjabi recipe of the madar paneer, and I've never made madar paneer like that. And there was none of that nonsense cream and all of that in it.
No.
The pani tadka with the tomatoes, fresh tomatoes.
Got good tomatoes, good onions. Oh. Got to let the onions
I've got
the work.
I've got buffalo tomato as well. So I really...
Oh, the big chunky monkeys.
Big chunky one. And it was so juicy and...
Well done. Paneer in chunks or paneer in a burji style?
No. The burji, I can do the burji, but I wanted to go like...
Because you went saucy, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's why you need the chunks. And what was your carb of choice?
So I had a little bit of rice and I had the chana paratha.
Oh, yeah, I did. You know what? I'll be honest. I'm very rarely use the shanas paratha. Mm. I like to make my own.
I didn't have time to do that.
But atta needs to be, for me, atta needs to be second day atta.
Right.
Some people have got it in their hands. I agree. I've done with the cooking show. I've seen women gone the atta.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm saying women. They were women, but it didn't have to be women. Could be anyone. Yeah. But they've gone the atta and then bang.
Banged it out.
And it's a nice fluffy roti.
I think it needs to be a day old.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It's something about day old atta.
Day old atta. The roti's come out fluffy.
I've never had day old.
It's like it has time to like fester. I don't know what the word is.
The word is prove, I think.
Is it really? How do I know that?
Prove it.
Thanks, Edge. Boom. See how we work together.
Yes, that's good. It's a good tag team. Yeah. Good tag team. I love it. So thank you for the lovely food.
We should do a podcast together, Edge. Me and you. Just me and you, just bouncing off each other, vibing.
Well,
I mean,
you can cook Punjabi food. It could be just the two of you getting together, just like the Gallagher brothers have decided that they're going to get together. We've got to talk about that.
Big news
for all of UK.
Shall we?
Hang on.
Hang on. Number one, Seth.
Hang on. We know who Oasis are.
Yeah.
Do regular brown folk?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. Kate.
Yeah, of course they do.
Can I add to my hang on, which is like a, if you're hang on number one, that's okay. hang on number one.
Okay, one B.
And my one B is, do our listeners, and I'm going to stereotyping, a majority are Desi. By the way, I want to say hello to all the Hair and Beauty Awards Brows and Lashes Awards people that I met over the weekend because I was hosting Nails, Brows and Lashes.
Are they listening?
Yeah. They went, we love your humour, which makes you suddenly not be very funny, by the way. Right. You go, thank you.
Yeah.
And that's it. You got nothing.
Got no joke.
It's their joke.
Yeah, but like, what now? Mm. Oh, you're funny.
Mm. Thanks.
Cheers. Cheers.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, she went, what's...
I can do a joke.
Because I mentioned the podcast.
I just thought of a joke.
Can you please do
it? It's a rude one, though.
Go on. Yeah, you can do rude jokes. Why did the thought cross the road?
No. What's wrong with 6.9? Or what ruins a 6.9?
Don't know.
The period.
Oh.
Okay.
That is a rude joke.
Okay.
A disgusting one.
We'll delete it.
No, we won't. We have to leave him there now.
That's staying in.
But like, that's such a juvenile.
Yeah, it's not juvenile. It was an adult joke that I saw in a thing, and I thought, I thought it was very clever.
Was it on the Penguin?
No. It was on a late night show.
Okay, what late night show?
This female actress said it, and I thought it was hilarious. No, I thought it was very clever.
It's because of the dot
6.9.
Yeah, I know what period. But what they're referring to.
But just think of that. Nothing else.
Well.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, it's always good when you get to have to explain a joke as well. That always makes it funny.
Anyway.
No,
your hair and makeup people have switched off.
They're like, oh my God, it was good until that. Why'd you let that other one speak?
I know.
I'm sorry.
That's my job.
No, exactly. No, but the 1B point was, do Desi's care?
No, I
actually think a lot of, like, okay, when I, okay, Oasis was a big part of my life.
I've got a third.
Okay, so yeah, I've got,
So we'll address all of these.
I don't necessarily agree with that statement, but I'm saying, hang on a minute. Mm. I've got...
I'm with you, Tommy.
You know, we've got somebody listening in Leicester, Birmingham, Manchester.
They don't even know who it is.
Well, yeah.
So my one C was, are Oasis worldwide?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we've answered that one, worldwide.
I think they are. I'll tell you why they are.
Yeah.
Even when you fly on Emirates, which is a worldwide airline, all their albums are on there and their Ned Worth documentary. They made a big thing out of it.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously, they fly all over the world, so everyone knows of Oasis.
Because I think they're doing a world tour. They're planning a world tour.
I know it's UK at the moment, UK and Ireland.
Yeah, from what I've seen. And also, I think this is going to be bigger than Taylor Swift. This is going to be bigger than the Eras.
Wow, really?
I think this hangama that's going to go down this weekend when the tickets go on sale, I think it's going to be Saturday, 9 o'clock. It's going to be more ridiculous than Taylor Swift.
More ridiculous than Diljit Dosanjh?
I'm sorry, Diljit.
You really? Oh, no. Okay. Now, will it though?
More than Diljit, for sure.
Okay, here's why I don't think it will be, bro. I'm just saying.
More than Diljit?
No.
Taylor Swift.
Of course it will be bigger than that because it's more than a
You don't think it's going to be bigger than Taylor Swift?
Well, I'll tell you why I don't think it will be.
Go on.
And that is, it's bigger to me than Taylor Swift's tour.
Yeah.
Because I would want to go and see Oasis.
Yeah.
I would feel inappropriate to a Taylor Swift concert. Yeah. I don't know why. I'd feel like...
Well, the fans don't like you. They wouldn't want me there. No, we spoke about it on the podcast. You were filming them or something, remember?
Yeah, you're not Swiftie.
So when I got on the train and all those people got on dressed up for the Taylor Swift concert, I don't think you're going to get dress up factor for Oasis.
Maybe.
No, you will. You get the Parkers. You can get the Parkers.
That would just be the way they look.
People come with the tambourine.
But I think they capture a bigger audience in terms of the age range, because you've got all the Oasis fans from original in the 90s who have now grown up and whatever, blah blah blah, and want to go back to it because they might not have seen it at Nebworth or whatever. And then you've got this whole new generation of people as well who are into their music and going, oh my God, they're going to get back and this is a great chance.
I thought about this today and I was like, I'm worried about them older crew that know the music and appreciate it.
Yeah,
they're going to get the tickets because all these young people that only know Wonderwall
Yeah.
We'll get tickets and be like, yeah.
No, no, but I think that's why they've gone for the sale on Saturday at 9 o'clock, because they know that all the oldies are not going to be working and they'll be ready on Saturday, whereas the youngies won't be. And I think that's why they've gone with a strategic, because when have you ever heard of tickets go on sale on a Saturday?
Never. No, never. It's usually a Friday.
So I was thinking that I think they planned it so that the older lot can get the tickets on a Saturday early morning.
All these years, the brothers haven't been getting on, right? Something went down. And, you know, I tell you, this happens so many times in my life, maybe it does to you lot as well, where, you know, when you're talking about something and then all of a sudden now they're back together. We were literally over this weekend, I was talking about the two of them.
Yeah.
And I think I saw Oasis. I saw them. Yeah, they were on a it just came on the TV. This is before the announcement. It was on something. And it was some old video of the two of them together. And oh, that was it. And I said it because whoever was in the room, the song ended and Liam Gallagher just stood there with his hands behind the lower part of his back. And just looking at like what looked like literally 100,000 people.
Yeah,
right?
And
he's staring at me. I'm like, look at that. He is rock and roll.
Yeah.
He is, his balls are the size of an elephant's. He is there kind of going, and what? And let's be honest, I remember when I heard the documentary when they got signed and he went in and he quit his job and he went, I've just signed a 7-album deal. I'm going to be a fucking rock and roll star. And he walks out. So he had it. He always had it. He's like a movie. Mm. So I love the fact they get together. And for me, I'm a bit older than you lot. The mid-90s, 95, is when I got to university. Now, university is that time where you come out of your little Desi, East London, Ilford pocket of all your mates being Jasvinder, Balbinder, Galvinder, Dalbinder.
Yeah.
And you go to like Nick and Ross and Gavin and all these guys.
They still could be Punjabi though. So
You're right, actually. All of those.
I know a Punjabi Gavin.
Nick as well, but not a Ross. I don't know Ross.
No, there isn't a Punjabi Ross.
There must be a Roshwant. Roshinder. So those guys were band people, right?
Yeah.
Right? They're white. And so they know more the band scene. I came from like hip hop, R&B, Puff Daddy, that kind of look.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, so that Oasis, listening to Wonderwall, even Stone Roses and The Farm and songs like that.
Yeah.
That time is magical for me. That was my most exciting time of my life. I'm 18. I've moved out. I'm now partying. Plus, you know, like, I never really partied till late. I was a good boy. We all were. I didn't do anything like college days.
I still am.
No, do you know what I mean? Like, so I was like, well, and also we're going out 3-4 nights a week.
Mm.
And Oasis is on every night. So that's why it means something.
Yeah, no, and I think, like you, and I think, and then this was the thing, I think with Asian people, you know, I know you're saying, oh, will they care and will they know about it? And I think we will know, because I said, you know, again, a lot of the listeners and all that, you know, went to uni, had friends who had English mates. All of my friends, Matt and Jim, they loved Oasis and Blur. Yeah. Right? So that's all they would listen to. And I'm like, for me, I was like,
girls who like boys,
this
ain't Falguni Patak.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, but the thing was, but it was like, I never really liked the music because it was like, you can't dance to it. For me, it was a big issue that you couldn't move to it. Like, how do you listen to music and not dance to it? I found that very difficult to understand when I was growing up.
But Wonder,
that's because you're fresh.
Wonderwall would come on.
He wants to do Garba to it.
No, because it was garage, it was R&B, it was hip hop. Like, you know, when he plays Wifey, when he plays 112, Only You, you know, or Next, or like Damage. Yeah. And it was just like, you know,
just
you could.
No, but you can listen to music.
Because Asians, we had the vibe.
Yeah,
we
had you can listen to music and not want to dance to it as well. And just be like, well, that's a good tune.
Yeah.
Very rare.
But Wonderwall would always come on like end of the night.
It's not necessarily that you can dance it, but it was, there was no rhythm to dance to.
No,
but you're not meant to dance to it. You
put your hands in the air and you go, I'm through it. Now you go, I'm through it. Exactly. Oh, no, I'm in Robbie Williams now.
Yeah, no, but still, but that's the kind of song that you don't dance to.
Says me. Like, and it was like, it's fun. I get it. Like, you know, like singing along karaoke, but it was just like, but you can't, I just couldn't connect with it like that. Do you know what I mean?
But it wasn't a hip shaker. That's why.
Bus, exactly. That's, and we were used to a lot of hip, because we grew up with the hip hop and R&B and garage and all of that. We were just used to.
You were going.
Because we went to those nights.
Went to those nights to dance as well.
Exactly. Right. Whereas we didn't go to the live gigs to watch these people perform. Yeah. And if we did go, it would have been like Miss Dynamite or So Solid Crew. So you're still moving.
Yeah.
That came a lot later than Oasis, by the way. That was four or five years later. No, probably longer, I'd say.
No, well, he said 95.
95 Oasis were popping. And then 99. Oh,
95.
So 98, it was Garage and all of that was it.
Garage, 99. Not yet.
I know. I was at uni.
But that era. Can I just add to it? That was when everything. We've said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
Everything was going off. Nirvana. You know, like the American Guns N' Roses. Mm-hmm. So they were killing it. Mm-hmm. Your Blur's, Oasis, and all those bands were killing it.
Britpop.
Garage. Britpop. Band. Spice Girls.
Yeah. Are you guys going to try and get tickets?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to. I would like to. But also, generally, on a brotherly level, I'm like. What happened? Oh, because they don't really say, haven't really said why they fell out all these years.
I've been lucky to be a part of when they've both been down at work and talking about it.
I would love it if they'd planned this.
Of course they have. No, and bruv, this is probably all getting filmed by Netflix or Amazon. It's all happened.
But I would have known if they planned it years ago and went, you know what?
Tommy, it's a long time ago.
I'm a bit done with you.
Yeah, I'm happy
to not see you for a few years.
But we'll pick a date.
But I'm going to go. I'm going to tell everyone you're a prick. And you're going to tell everyone you're a prick. And they have. They've openly called each other the most horrible names. And literally, I've heard Oasis. I've heard Liam and Noel both say, no way.
Yeah, but Tommy, no way will we do that.
Do you think so?
Of course, because it makes your currency more
exactly
higher.
I just think right now, with the time that's passed, the right money came along, and they were like,
"Of course it did."
But I still think they got.
I think they might have needed a little bit as well. I mean, guys, just remember when we finish, we just go say, "Yeah, I hate them." Let's go along that line.
Why we say it now?
They might have a little fight on stage. Yeah. You never know.
Who knows? I'm saying, but when we split up as a Brownlow, make sure we say that. We didn't get on.
I'd say that about you anyway.
But make it so believable. Make it believable so when the comeback happens.
Oh yeah. Then
when people ask
more.
Me, "Where's Kedge?" when I'm out, I'm like, well, I don't want to hang around with him. What do you mean,
Kedge? Who? I've had him deleted. I went to a hypnotherapist.
Yeah, say that. Say that.
Yeah, I had to delete him from my. Yeah. But I'm excited. But
one hour a week's enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. I don't want to know.
Can I just ask on another? I want to just know favorite Oasis song. Finally.
Oh, it's a hard one, isn't it? It's a hard one.
I'm going to go because I've already thought about it. So I'm going to just say it's for me, Champagne Supernova.
Yeah, Champagne Supernova is a very good one.
Because if you put Champagne Supernova on, right, put good headphones on or put it on all around you, listen to the start with the sound of the beach and waves kind of moving and the little like a little guitar string. Yeah. And he goes, and how many special beats? It's just such a nice, gentle start. It's not, I don't like the heavy, rocky stuff.
Wonderwall.
Why? Yeah, that's just pain.
Do you know what? It's like every Asian wedding you go to as well.
Oh, really?
One more song. Play Wonderwall. Wonderwall.
Shut up.
They want to sing along.
Yeah. They want Wonderwall at the end.
There you go.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Sweet Caroline, Neil Diamond, which I don't mind. I prefer that over Wonderwall.
That's a weird one as well.
But Wonderwall, now, for me, same category as Yeah Dosti. I hate it.
Oh, really? Yeah Dosti as well.
Wow. I do like singing along to Don't Look Back in Anger.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah. And anyway, I don't think I'll be getting for ticket. I said this to your wife earlier, Tommy. I was like, if I get tickets, I'll probably sell them. But she was like, I want them. So,
can you give me one?
Yeah.
No, she first did.
How much chickpea salad do you want for a ticket? There you go.
I was like, I'll get them.
What's that song?
But I'll sell them.
Today's going to be the day. That's Wonderwall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why?
No, I like the start of that.
By the way, you know when people sing a song, Kedge started air guitaring.
Yeah.
Right? But actually, he did a one-finger tumbi. It was more like on his shoulder.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Kedge is that guy, though, because I know that this guy don't know. No, there's no reason for him to go to an Oasis concert because he's only going because he wants to be a part of the movement.
Yeah.
No, but I'm calling him out. Tommy, it was your thing when you were
my era, man.
But I know it wasn't, and he admitted that on the podcast about 5 minutes ago. Now, because everyone's going to Oasis, everyone wants to be like, Oasis, this Oasis. Shut up. He wants to go and be like, he's a Swiftie. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's all part of the hype.
The same reason you were hanging around Ariana Grande and her security got rid of you.
No, you can do one, bro.
Okay, but I will tell you something. I did find it a little bit awkward because obviously going into work today, right?
And
I
was going, hype man.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't be that much of a hype man because basically going into work and you're going into a place like Virgin Radio where, as we all know, I'm the only Desi who works there. Mm. And so, you know, all the English people are so excited for it. Oh, Oasis, my Oasis. You're going to get tickets, all of that kind of thing. And it's just like, you know, like, I had to do a little bit. I've done a little bit of homework before I had to go into work today, just so I could even name 5 songs.
Yeah. See what I mean?
No, but I know this is winding me plays up. I don't know the title of it.
Why do you want to go to a concert?
I don't know which one came from Morning Glory. What's the story? Morning Glory album. Or I don't know which one came from Definitely Maybe. I don't know things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? I know the songs if they were played, but I don't know that intricate.
You wouldn't recognize the album cover.
Maybe.
Oh, right. Okay.
Maybe. I remember one with the sky and everything like that, and then the black writing on the thing at the bottom. But what I'm trying to say is...
That was fun, Gwynny Paddocks.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, like, it wasn't our thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, if you show me a Biggie album or a P. Diddy one, I could probably know it. I'd probably recognise it. Or the songs or whatever. So I did feel like a little bit like, oh, my God, I'm going into an establishment here where everyone's going to be talking about this, and I need to step up. And it was a little bit like, you know, it's a little bit scary and daunting because, you know, everyone's talking about it.
It's all coming out.
You know, because who was there when Falguni Bhatak announced that she's coming to the UK? And who, you know, like, I couldn't speak to the English people at work.
Well, I think you should have if you were really
like,
part of the course.
I was really excited about that. And but like, who could I share that with?
Exactly.
Go tell them.
So who's going to know Falguni Bhatak's going to
there you
songs?
Are making cultural leaps to kind of join up in society.
Exactly.
And it's not being reciprocated.
No.
Because they're not getting down with Falguni like you should get down with worldwide renowned Oasis.
Yeah.
Falguni's worldwide renowned.
In certain pockets. Do you know what I mean? You can't stop the average person in the street and say, excuse me, do you know Falguni Bhatak?
No, you can.
Do you know Liam Gallagher?
I know who she is. Curry sauce, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pick a pot of Pataks.
No, but you, if I did this question in the streets of India, it's the same. Then no one's going to know Oasis, but everyone will know Falguni Bhatak.
Okay, but it's 1.5 billion people in India.
So therefore they've got more followers than Oasis. She's got more followers than Oasis.
Then how about this, Kej? Don't go to Oasis and just go to Falguni and call it a day. How about that? I'll be happy then.
Exactly. And let's hope Falguni is reuniting with her sister, who she's not spoken to for 10 years, and then we are sorted. We're away. Who is this the equivalent of? It's like Salman and Shah Rukh.
It's Nadeem Shravan, isn't it? They don't chat to each other or something. Who like that. They fell out. Nadeem Shravan, the composer.
Nadeem Shravan. Is it what?
He's making
Nadeem
stuff
is ramen? Was it noodles?
No, Nadeem Shravan. You know, the musical geniuses, the composer.
There's no one called I've never heard. I'll be honest. I have been on the radio for like the last 15 years.
I know
years.
Who they are, but he's trying.
I've never said, and that was a lovely song by Nadeem Shravan there. I've done Salim Suleiman. We've done, you know, old school.
Nadeem Shravan, I think they fell out. They fell out with each other.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So those people that we've never heard of are just the same.
Lakshmikant Pyaralal.
And?
It's like that. Do you
his brother.
Know?
His brother.
No, I don't know if they were brothers.
Lakshmikant and Pyaralal.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's two people.
Oh, okay. No, I never knew that. Because I've seen that written. I've seen that on the credits of the song.
Lakshmikant Pyaralal, you thought it was one person.
I thought that's a sick name.
So was one person named Lakshmi?
I thought Lakshmi.
I thought it was Lakshmi and another person.
No, there's Lakshmikant. I'm really struggling to say the name without sounding like we're just saying it for the sake of saying it. And Pyarelal is such a great name. Are Pyarelal. Lakshmikant, yes. Pyarelal. Yeah. I thought first name Lakshmikant, surname Pyarelal.
Oh my God. Okay.
There's two people.
Yes.
There you go.
Might be three. I don't know. Right.
That's right. Me. And Pyarelal. And the one in the middle.
And the other one.
Where's he gone? Where is that?
Stop it.
Okay, good.
No,
good. Terrible. We haven't got a Noel Gallagher and a Lil Girl. But anyway, so that's one of the big things that's happening this week. And
then it's going to be a good party. It's going to be a good day. It'll be like a festival.
It will be a festival. And talking of festivals, I attended a festival over the weekend, and it was Chris Evans's very own festival that he organised. It's called Carfest.
Carfest? Yeah. Celebration of cars?
It's loosely cars, but it's everything now. Do you know what I mean? So, it was based around cars. Now it's evolved, and you get like wellness in there. You get fun fairs in there. You get a star fest, an author fest. Yeah, it's like a massive mela fest. Yeah. And a stage for everything, you know, authors, writers.
Over a weekend?
Over a weekend, yeah.
Did you stay there?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I was
camping available?
Yeah, camping's available.
Why didn't you stay there?
Because I can't do that glamping.
He can't. He didn't.
No, it's glamping. It's nice. Yeah, it's very nice. You get a bed and everything. It's all proper. But
poo in the hole. Poo in the hole.
No. They have nice bars.
Technically, we always poo in a hole.
Yeah.
No, but like, you know like what I mean. Proper, but like in one of them ones, you know what I mean. Like,
Mitty Mori.
No, what does that mean?
In the Mitty.
Oh, and
Mori. Mori. You know what Mori is?
No.
It's a hole. Hull. Oh. Yeah, the Mori in Mitty Mori.
But that's got a nice ring to it, Mitty Mori.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the thing? Is that the
actual... No, I just okay. Say like, that's what it would be. It'd be like a little hole in the mud on the floor in the festival.
Okay, that's like really nice.
Yep. Mitty Mori. You should have gone in stage.
Oh, Mitty Mori, Rose.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy. No, I should have, but I didn't. And also, I didn't because I was, like I said, I was at this festival and I was probably the only Asian there. And it was just interesting to walk around.
But you're used to then the pooing in the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, but it's a good festival, you know, and it's just like I mean, I was thinking that, you know, we need to organise something like this on the scale. But it's a great festival, and I just wish more Asian people turned up to it because I just think it is incredible. But we just don't know about
it. We don't do festivals. I was at a festival.
Why is it that we don't do festivals?
I went to Goat Fest, right, which is that was a festival. I was doing a comedy set at a festival, my first ever one, right?
What's it? We've got goats in it.
Actually, I think the history of it was that it was after some pub. It started off in a pub called The Goat.
Right.
And then it became, let's do it in the field.
Yeah.
Right. And then it had fun fairs and stages and all that kind of stuff.
And it became a goat
fest. Portaloos and backstage. It was in Hertfordshire in Cody Coat.
I don't know.
Yeah, neither did I. I was trying to
get Cody.
Yeah.
Sounds made up.
Cody is what I was
calling it. Oh, Cody Code.
Cody Code.
Yeah. I think I've seen it.
Cody Code.
You know what? You know why? Because you did that 69 joke. That's it. After that, it went downhill.
No.
The language has gone downhill. It really has.
No, not at all. I thought I did a very intellectual joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what am I saying? There was no Desi's there either. Yeah. I was the only one.
Can we talk about this? Why is it Asians don't do festivals? And would Asian people do festivals if it was tailored for Asians? That is my question for this week.
And that's a manager.
I want to know. I want to do a little survey. If we organised a festival, 3-day festival, 2-day festival, where it's overnight, camping is available.
No.
How many Desis would turn up and how many would actually camp?
I wouldn't even turn up.
Really?
No. Well, to stay there for 3 days in the field.
Okay, you got to appeal to Satch then. How are you appealing to Satch? What is... Because if you say... Satch,
glamping is available.
I need a hotel there.
No, what you've just done is juxtaposition two very different scenarios. You said let's tailor event for Asian people.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you said where would you stay, Satch? Satch. So as soon as you said I've made an event which is tailored for Asian people, the racist in Satch has gone. I hate my people. I'm out. I don't want to be around him. I spend too much time around him. And that's Satch. He'll happily stay at home unless, of course, Satch goes. You said, Satch, you're going to DJ. To 10,000 people.
Is it that much of a cultural difference?
Do you know where you should do it?
Where?
Jumeirah Beach. I'll come.
Oh, see, like that. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Then it's... Or what,
and you'd camp there? If they had like the Bedouin...
across the road and the Bedouin go to the hotel. Loads of hotels.
I'd camp at the Rixos.
No, exactly.
So they've got a little patch of land over there.
So what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to get to the bottom of this cultural difference.
I'm not staying in a tent.
Why do Asians don't want to stay in a tent? What is that? What is that we don't want to stay in a tent?
Would you stay in a tent?
I've stayed in a tent.
Where?
When I did Duke of Edinburgh Award.
Yeah, you were 15 then, Kedge.
No, I was about 18.
Could you go and stay in a tent now?
No, because I need to shower.
I need to shower.
I was 18. Duke of Edinburgh, I swear, there's 12 and 13-year-olds doing it in my family.
Yeah.
And the thought of Kedge being in a tent with them going, all right.
By the time I finished the gold, I was 17. I was 17 when I finished it. But what I'm trying to say is that why is it that we don't do it?
Well, you said it yourself. You didn't even want to go and stay in the tent this weekend. So that's half the problem as well.
Yeah.
If I don't want to do it, you definitely don't want to do it.
I think I'm going
to... Tommy might do it.
Let me go in on the stereotype. I'm going to... Because that's
what
I know what you want. You want the line that says... The line is, Asians think they're better than that.
Nah.
They do.
No, it's not.
In general, it is. It's like a...
Put it this way.
Asians think they're better than... Cold holidays. Oh, why would I do that?
Yeah.
Why would I be cold?
That's me.
Why would I camp?
Yeah.
And I know a lot. Now, I like doing it because I like those kind of things. I like tough mudders.
Are you okay with not showering for 2 days?
Yeah, I'm all right with it. I don't think I would
say... I need two a day.
Because I take wipes. I do my...
What?
If you had to do like wipe, you know, just wipes and wipe your pits and bits... Right?
No, I couldn't.
For 2 days, it's actually probably good for your body. You know when they say like, don't always, put shampoo in your hair.
So you're telling me not washing is good for your body?
It can be, yeah.
That makes no sense.
No, it does make sense. Because your body releases natural oils. No, it does. I'm telling you, please, someone who's a skin specialist, back me up on this one. Drop me an email, hello@thebrownlow.com.
But your smelly armpit.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what the wipes are for. You get some like...
No, but it's still going to smell.
I don't want to rub antiseptic wipe in my armpit.
If you did a festival, Kedge, where it involved... I could go to it. I don't want to be around like some massive crowd in like in just thousands of people.
Like a Disney hotel next to it.
I would need a hotel. So I'd go to the back to stay there.
Yeah.
But I'd come back for the whole day. So, and do the
festival. With a shuttle service, you'll be okay.
Yeah, but I think it needs to be better than a shuttle service. Yeah.
And would you be okay with, like, say, on Saturday when I went and it started raining down and it got very muddy?
I'd be going back to my hotel in the pool.
So I need to then lay down some sort of carpet.
Yeah,
on a field.
It needs to be covered,
but,
bruv.
Yeah, but you can if you're camping. So there's properly, a whole lot
of thing. There's a whole lot of thing that basically that affects Asian people going from.
But look at it this way. Look, Carnival happened this weekend. I know a whole bunch of brown people that went to Cannes. Loads of brown people go to Cannes. Yeah, but I wanted to go, but
staying,
I just couldn't make it.
It's not a staying over thing, though, isn't it?
That's it's not a staying over thing, and that's the.
And it's on concrete.
What appealed to me to go to Carnival is like number one, great music. I'm going to love it.
Yeah,
vibe's going to be good. Do you know what I didn't like? The thought of getting to it. Put me off it.
And the crowds.
Like, I even thought about it, I was like, I'm going to drive to Central as close as I can, park up somewhere, and I'll walk there half an hour, 40 minutes. It's cool. I'll walk there. It's not an issue.
Yeah.
But it was just that getting there. And I was just like, I really want to go because I would have loved to just go and see. Everyone was there this weekend. You see Kedge.
It was rammed.
Like, it was rammed. I see Craig David on some.
Yeah, the lineup was loads of, but it was like came
back with more fire crew on Rampage.
But there were so many people. It was almost hazardous. It was almost hazardous.
And I got a bit of FOMO, obviously, not going to it. But the one thing it was just like the thought of going to it just put me off. And I was like,
Sachin do crowds, does he?
No, I don't even mean the travelling. It's the travelling that just put me off it.
Okay, all right.
I do like Carnival because you just Carnival's sort of you trudge along with everybody.
Yeah,
but
there was no space.
I think I'm just too old for it now.
Okay, fine.
I'd be too worried.
Okay,
that something's going to happen. The trouble, fighting.
Bruv, that's all escape routes.
And I do think I remember last time I was there, thinking if it all kicks off,
nothing's going to kick off.
I can climb on top of that car, or I can climb on top of that van. You know what I mean? Like what's your way out? Because there is something, I don't know, I don't really like it, but when you're in the middle of lots of people, you know what? Quick little side note. What I've developed a little anxiety of. Oh. Not anxiety, no, like a thing. I don't like being in the middle of the bed because the boys will both get into the bed, right? In the night or in the morning. I wake up, Logan's on one side, Marla's on the other.
And Kedger's on the other.
Kedger's between my legs. And, I'm like, leave me and Uncle Kedger alone. Yeah. And the duvet sort of pulled tightly over me.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Because they both
suffocate.
God, this is all a bit weird.
No, yeah, but I don't like that. I just don't like that. I feel like I'm stuck in the middle.
Do you want to sit on the end of the podcast now? Yeah.
This is all right because there's not a duvet
we're
over
not stretching
us.
You.
So I'm saying, I think in the
do
same
you want a duvet
way,
next
the
week?
Crowds might do. We'll bring a sleeping bag. We'll camp. Why don't we do? We should do the Brown Load camp.
Oh, what if we did Brown?
I ain't turning up.
Brown Fest.
Yep. Testival. Like
yeah.
Like Brown, the big Brown testivals.
No. Brown Fest. What if we did Brown Fest?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go back home at night.
Okay.
All right, fine.
But we'll helicopter you in, showbiz style.
The other thing I was going to ask you guys about as well, obviously we've spoken about, you know, why Desi's don't camp and everything, but the other thing is that there was this new survey that has been released and it was done, and it was basically a survey that found a quarter of people between the age of 18 to 34 never answer their phone. They say that they just ignore the ringing. They might respond via text or search the number online if they don't recognise it. And so this survey was done by Uswitch, and they said that these young generation prefer a text rather than a phone call.
What age do you say?
18 to 34.
See, I'm 36. Yeah. So it's just, and I'd say you're probably right, Kedge, because people younger than me don't answer the phone.
What's that?
I think I'm the last. I'm the last of that lot.
Why is that? What is that about? Why do they? And you
I think
know,
they're like, just scared. I know a lot of people that Google numbers, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Why? The phone's ringing. Pick it up.
Yeah.
So there's this psychologist called Dr. Elena Turuni, who's basically she explains that because the young people never developed a habit of speaking on the phone.
Yeah.
And so now it feels weird for them as it's not the norm.
Yeah.
And like. That's crazy, isn't it? How it's just shifted that.
It's
like,
changed.
Because that's probably is true. Changed.
Everything's like messenger now.
You know what? Okay, so here's what I was thinking. As you were saying that, I was going, you know, Milo has got a mobile phone, right?
Has he?
Yeah. He's had it for when he got to secondary school.
Yeah, you've got to have it when you go to secondary school.
Oh, is it?
It is
an iPhone, but it's an old one. One of our old ones, so we don't really kind of care for it anymore. Mm. But he doesn't use his minutes. He's got minutes on there. He'll call us.
No one uses it. I don't think minutes. Now it's all sold on data.
But even at school, they can get on the Wi-Fi. So he gets and on also the Wi-Fi and he WhatsApp calls.
And the minutes and everything don't cost these companies anything anymore. It's just on data.
It's just data.
So you're right. He doesn't do talk.
And actually, before it was like 3 after 7. Everyone was like, I'll call you after 7.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you had the ultimate tariff? which was 7-7.
Yeah, free.
And then weekends as well. Yeah. It was a 1-1.
Yeah. What was that tariff? My number's still the same, you know that.
Is it? What was that tariff called?
I've still got it, yeah.
What was that tariff called?
I don't know.
1-1 weekend.
Was that 25 or something?
No. I can't remember. But that's, I've still got that. I've still got that.
It was 1-1 something.
Yeah. 1-1.
Whoever had that tariff, you were rolling because you weren't paying for anything.
Yeah. And then before, I think it was £25 a month. That's what it was.
£25 a month.
Yeah. And it was, and that's what it was.
Free calls to other, same other 1-1 numbers and landline numbers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was
it. It was everything. Your world was opened up. That was even pre-data. But you're right.
But before that.
Yeah.
Before mobile phones, do you remember the whole palaver of, and you know, this is the thing, obviously, because like this psychologist is saying, that 18 to 34 year olds have never needed to answer the phone and pick the phone up. But do you remember when you wanted to speak to your mate growing up and it was just a landline? Mm. And now, I don't know if you think about it, but the landline was always in a place that was never private. It was always in a communal, so we had one in the living room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, in the corner. For some reason, it was near the telly.
Yeah.
And then, wasn't it? And then, and then there was one.
But that's where the sockets were. Like, it was only one place in the house.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
So the power, everything was
aerial,
there.
Yeah. Aerial phone.
You couldn't have the phone down the other end of the room. It just weren't possible.
It wasn't possible.
Yeah.
And then the other one was by my parents' bed, just on the corner of the bedside table there. Mm. And so two places. And you're like, okay. And then you want to speak to your mate.
Okay. How old were you?
Well, what? When I was making these phone calls?
Yeah. Last week?
No, you know, growing up, it was like 7, 8, 9. Is that, I think I remember.
Eight or nine? You wanted to phone your mates?
Okay, no, maybe about 10. Maybe 10.
I'll be honest, I never did it.
What do you mean?
I never rung my mates. I never rung. Why would I? Like, no.
You'd go knock for him.
Yeah, exactly. Really? That as well. Yeah. So, firstly, my mates at school, my cousins.
Wait, you never used to ring any friends?
Well, we got a big family and they were all at the school.
Right.
So, there was a few mates that were kind of like cousins as well.
High School.
We had the three families that lived across the road from us, played with them. Mm. I had my cousin when I moved to the next house, he lived across the road from me, played with that. So,
If you needed your cousin, you'd go knock for him across the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've just remembered as you were saying that.
Yeah.
When the bill used to come.
Oh, and then my dad would highlight.
My dad would get, because my dad worked for BT for 30 years.
Oh, of course.
Oh, free calls,
My dad was an accountant.
No, he don't get no free calls. Well, he paid for it, right?
Oh,
your dad was an accountant, right?
So he knows.
He wants to offset it, right?
Okay.
And then it would be my sisters, because they'd be back from university.
Right.
And they were ringing their mates back in Leeds or Manchester or somewhere
that
else.
That shit cost more, innit?
Right. That was long distance.
Was it more money to call them across Leeds?
Was it? Outside your dialing zone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Different codes and stuff. Right.
And then my dad would be like, what the hell is this? Like 23
0208, 0207.
That was when it changed.
That came afterwards. It was 01.
And then 02? Was there an 02?
No, then there was 0181.
There was something
0181.
Else. 0181 was in London, then something else.
I knew it was too complicated for me to understand what
it was. It was 01 first. That was the first one, 01.
Anyway, so all of that, I tell you what, I also now remembering as well, a beige phone. I had it in beige.
Yeah, I had a beige phone.
With a curly.
Yeah, curly thard.
But what were the buttons like?
It had an orange button. One random
top
orange.
Top left or bottom right was orange.
What was it? It was like a cancel.
Yeah, I think everyone had the same phone. I had that same phone.
That beige.
Oh, was it more like square?
It was like milky tea colored.
It looked, and it looked like a calculator. It had the phone, and then it was
on
like
the
a
left
calculator.
Hand side.
Yeah, on the other
side. No, that was a bit modern.
I never calculator one.
No, that was a modern.
Oh, you had a round.
No, we had. It was a button one.
Yeah, but obviously those buttons were like calculator buttons.
Oh yeah, had a calculator. You had a screen.
No, but that was quite an office phone, Saj. That's quite an office phone.
No, that was the phone. I had the same phone as him. What he's expecting?
But I remember. So I remember. I wanted to ring Ravi, my mate. And it's like
Sharma.
No, not him. He weren't my mate. The process of that would be I'd have to ask my dad for the diary because my dad had a diary, and he had dedicated one page for my mates. So I'd have to go in there and have a look, and he's written Ravi's number, and I have to dial it. And then the thing was because I couldn't.
That's nice of your dad.
Yeah,
yeah. I had to
write down my own numbers.
Oh no, he done it for us because he had to be very neat and everything. Yeah. And then and then he would look at me and he would wait there until I'd got through the initial first test, and the first test was if his mum or dad answers the phone, even though they were school friends, they were Indian, so I had to say auntie or uncle.
Yeah, namaskar.
Not namaskar, but hello auntie. And you just feel like such a wally. I used to hate that.
Your dad's checking for manners. That's not a bad thing.
I know, but it was like, but it's Ravi, isn't it? It's like Rav.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
where's your boy at?
Yeah, so I'm like, hello auntie, can I speak to Ravi, please?
That's a bit rude, Kej. I had to. ask how that person was. Like, that was just normal.
To the adult.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have to. If my dad was really stood over me, I'd have to ask them how they are. But
I said it to Milo, even when before you guys turn up,
yeah.
I go, come and say hello now.
You're not
a little kid. You got to get. So coming back to your point, you're right. Young generation don't know how to use a phone.
It's the lack of conversation skills as well. He just ends, he puts
the phone down.
Yeah.
Oh,
it winds me up.
No, goodbye.
He goes,
no, because they don't know the etiquette.
Where are you? Like that. I'll go, hi, Milo. And he'll go, hi, where are you? I went, I'm outside the gate. There's two gates I might be at to pick him up. Yeah. And he'll go, which one?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm like, you're making me feel angst. Yeah. I go, that gate one, we call it, gateway number, right? I'm by gate one. He goes, you're right there. You're parked up? I went, yeah, okay. And then the phone will go dead.
Oh. Yeah, it's very aggressive chat, isn't it? It's like, yeah, and then the phone just goes. I could imagine that.
Text message, love you, Dad. Fine. Yeah. The personality's there.
Yeah. But not in the voice.
Yeah, it doesn't know.
It's crazy.
I tell you what, I've just remembered as well, as you were saying about the phones. Just, I don't know if you, my sisters did this, because when they went to make a private phone call, they'd take the phone.
Couldn't do a private phone call.
They'd stretch the lead as far as they could, and then the rest of the curly-whirly bit
would
go in the little gap between the door and go through the hallway to the other room.
Yeah.
And then they would hold the phone there and chat.
Yeah.
So they sat on the floor by the door in a room outside of the room where the phone is plugged into.
And then what if sometimes your parents just picked up the phone?
You see, that's the techers, because you've got to listen out for the click.
You've got to listen
out very subtle click. And then it kind of gets a bit more echoey.
Yes.
Like the line goes echoey, so you know someone else is
listening. And I'll be like, Mum, you're listening.
Yeah, I know someone's there. And then you hear a click back and you're like, you little shh. Like, who was that?
Yeah.
Who was that?
I knew it.
Okay. And as you go running up there now, I'm like, yeah, I'll let them
know. You know what? Like that, I know those stories because obviously, you know that, but that didn't really happen to me so much because I was at the age where when I was ringing people, we had mobile phones.
Oh, were you? Oh,
yeah, and I was quite quickly.
So your life was easy.
Yeah, and it's like, well, my
folks got... So then you were there for the voicemailing bit of people. That's why you know how to speak to people.
What do you mean?
Like, because you're still speaking to people.
Of course.
You didn't miss the whole era of speaking.
No, but like, I still remember when we didn't have mobile phones, and then obviously, you know, mobile phones came into it quite... And I got a mobile phone quite quickly as well, because... Mm. I was working, well, like, you know, making money, like DJing and stuff like that. So you could get a phone. That's why I had like the 0795 number.
Yeah, the original one to one.
Yeah.
Old school.
So, but it was just, I just don't understand now how people still don't, I can see them and they're like, if their phone rings, they'll just turn it over and put it away. Like, as in, they don't want to answer it.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I find weird.
So I think I'm one, and I literally was thinking about this today before I even knew you were going to talk about this. I think I'm a voice note. Arsehole.
You are.
You know why?
I think I'm starting to become one.
Because
Jax Climax is as well.
Jax Climax. Yeah, and he Jax Climax does it.
Yeah, he's a voice note podcast.
Yeah, he's a podcast. He goes on forever.
But it's lovely because he's a hype man.
No, I like it. I do love it when I get a Jax.
In our boys group, we get him when he goes for a walk all the time.
Yeah, and he just bored, so then he would just put all of his
little feelings for 6-7 minutes.
Let me do it. Jax Climax, Mr. Producer of Heed and all these banger tracks, top DJ, you know, always, by the way, looks a bit angry. His resting face is this.
The boss of Virgin Radio goes, is he always angry?
No. He actually screws his eyebrows together as his resting face.
Yeah.
But he doesn't mean to. It's like he goes, how you doing, bro? You're right. Yeah. And then he'll just go, his resting face is just like that. But his messages are so lovely. He's like, I'm so proud of you.
Mm.
You're smashing it. You just keep going. And it's proper mojo. So it's funny. Yeah, the irony of that. How did I get to that?
Because you're turning into one as well.
Oh, yeah. No, what I realised is I just want to say what I've got to say and leave it there. Yeah. So that's I'll talk for too long.
No, but Tommy, you still have good etiquette when you do it. Because you still message and be like, oh, what's going on, Satch? You all right? How's it going? I hope you're good.
Yeah.
And then you get into, some people just go straight in. Oh, Satch, have you got blah, 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 blah.
Well, yeah, hello? Basics?
No, but sometimes you don't need to do that.
No, I think you do something.
Which one is he?
Kedge is that guy. He goes straight in.
I don't have to go on and say, how are you? You got that tune.
No, but if I haven't spoken to you in maybe 3-4 days, like, surely that's manners though, innit? Tommy, how you doing?
Yeah.
Even if I rang you, Tommy, I'd be like, Tommy, how's it
going? What's going on?
I think it's the nature of the voice note.
Yeah, but then you could argue we're putting on a bit of mucking for the sake of faking it. And Kenji's going straight in, keeping it real.
Because you know me.
Tommy, if I was to ring you, I'd want to know how you're doing and what you're doing.
Exactly.
Genuinely.
And I would want to know, like, I'm like, am I interrupting? What, are you in the middle of it? Exactly. Are you playing? What are you doing?
I just want to get in.
But he ain't got no consideration. Like,
and then that was one of the things I remember at the BBC where it was like, Kedge, your email etiquette is just like, you just go and just get ask for the stuff that you need rather than just, you know, hello, how are you?
Yep.
Hope you had a nice weekend. Mine was great. I made some cookies.
No, but no one's saying you to, no one's saying to do that, Kedge. No one's telling you to do that. Shit.
Okay.
But when people, okay, so people,
it's just bad manners.
But some people also, I also know with Satch, if you go, Satch has the game, he goes, ah, oh, you know, I'm fucking knackered. That's where he'll go. I'm bloody, I've slept 3 hours. I'm gigging there. I'm going off there. I'm flying off there. Even like we were planning something.
Yeah.
Can I mention where you mentioned that country you're going to be in November?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I can mention it, right? So he, we're planning a night out and I said, Kedge, come with me to this, you know, let's go on this night out in the middle of November. And Satch goes, I'm in Thailand. And that's all he'll say. Like, no, I'm out. Yeah. But that's what you know. So you know, if you ask Satch, how are you? Satch is going to go, yeah, I'm all right. Well, yeah, and move on. Yeah. Where if you go to me, how are you? Go, well, I made butter chicken. Yeah. And, la, la, la. And then I defrosted the sag. And then Kedge goes, da, da, da. But you know, these shadow project. And then they're like, oh, for God's sake. And then I would annoy you, wouldn't it? That would annoy you, Kedge.
No, but Tommy, I like that. Like, it's not even, yeah, you need a little bit of that. Whereas Kedge is just straight in, doesn't even ask about
how you are. No, yeah, let's just get straight to the point. Anyway, talking to
get you point.
Yeah. What did we watch this week?
I'm going to declare that I've not watched anything because I've just been
busy,
all this week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all out. I'm trying to think if I've caught anything. Out. And I still want to see Deadpool.
I still want to watch that.
Yeah.
Should we go?
Guys, it's going to be rubbish.
I haven't even watched a Premier League game.
Oh, you're busy at
It's going to be rubbish, guys.
It's not going to be rubbish.
Okay. No, it's not.
Are you a big fan of it? Then you'll love it.
Yeah,
I like Deadpool,
yeah. I like
it. Got rubbish scores on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm gutted. My brother was there as well, and I said to him, let's go watch it, and we just didn't get time.
Okay. Deadpool and Wolverine.
And I've got free cinema tickets.
Oh, I'll have them.
Oh, it's on the app thing.
Oh.
Go another time.
Not even I'll have him.
Hey, Satch, how about we go together?
I'll have him.
Give them to me.
See what I mean?
Because the way you said it was like you're not going to go, and I will go. So that's the thing.
Well, what are you watching?
No, now you want to go and watch Deadpool, you prick.
I won't go and watch Deadpool. I'm going to watch something else.
I want to use the ticket. Go with you.
Some South Korean film or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Crouching.
I saw a film which is called Long Legs, which was out recently in the cinema.
Never even heard of it, Kedge. Why are you watching something I haven't even heard of? Long Legs.
Yeah, hang on. He went cinema to watch a film that he's cussing us for watching Deadpool.
Yeah,
one of the biggest films.
Guys,
he sat at the back of the cinema with Jim and John and a little hole at the bottom of the popcorn.
Guys,
watching
this,
Long Legs.
This film.
Holding Long Legs.
This film is a horror thriller. Film, it's so good. It's got Nicolas Cage in it, who plays the most messed up dude in it. Right? It's devil worshipping.
Okay.
It's really well made.
Who's got long legs in the film, or is that a clever double meaning?
No, I can't tell you that because that will ruin the film.
Do you like long legs?
Yes.
There you go. What can I ask him that you do with that? Do you like the little ones? I don't
know. Yes.
Yeah.
it's a really good film. Watch it. If you like a thriller, it's been a long time since there's been a thriller and a scary film, but it's really well made. It's slightly freaky. It will put you on the edge of your sofa, and it was really well made. So I watched that. I finished Presume Innocent as well with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Incredible show
like
on Apple TV.
Like Gyllenhaal.
You'd love it. This is just a whodunit, a courtroom drama. It's brilliant.
Okay, I do like that. Yeah. Okay, we'll have a look.
So, have a look.
I watched something that I remember when I wasn't on the podcast and Simon spoke about it. You guys cussed it.
What?
It was a show called King of Collectibles.
Oh,
do you remember?
Oh, yeah, he mentioned that.
What do you watch that for?
Season two's now out.
Oh, my God.
Two.
What are we collecting now?
Honestly.
Stamps.
It's so good, boys. It's so good.
Shut up.
There's so much stuff on it that, like, you're just.
What are they collecting now?
How
what?
Is that worth that? Like, it's unbelievable. And I'm thinking about it now. I've got so many signed CDs and records and stuff of people. I think I could make some money out of the shit I got, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm just like.
What?
Stuff like. So. Like baseball balls, like by Babe Ruth signed and all that.
But we ain't no Desi's gonna have that.
And then they had you'd be surprised, Kedge. And then there was like the big thing at the moment is Pokemon cards and how much they're selling for. It's just it blows your mind that things that are available, like you know, people sell it for that much money, and there's a market for it. And it's just like the reason why I like it is because we're not a part of this world. So it blows your mind. There was one card that the geezer, it was like a trading card. You know, the football trading cards or whatever.
He said one card.
One card. It was of one of these baseball players. Do you know how much it's valued at?
This is what the same
valued
thing Simon spoke about.
$50 million
for
a card.
Simon spoke about the same
for
thing.
For a card.
fuck hard and wank hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know what I liked about it? It's like one of those, it's not a lot of concentrate. You can just put it on in the background, you do your work and half watch
it. It's like Antiques Roadshow.
But a better version of it. I think it's good. I think it's good.
Pimp your Antique Roadshow.
And if you like stuff like, you know, it's a lot of pop culture stuff. So it's like, oh, you know, MJ wore this or this person wore this and you see how much it's worth. It's just interesting.
Okay. What is the most valuable thing you've got? Like me. That you think you might have. I'm not, you know, your mum's gold.
I don't know. I think we need to wait for people to, I don't want to say die. But they have to.
But like, what, like music wise then? So is yours
I don't know. Like, I've got loads of signed stuff by people.
No, like, what about like, you know, like playing cards or what have you got from?
No, I haven't got none of that. That's all gone. I wish I had that. Do you know like old like cards, like football cards and what?
I've got a framed Gazza Tottenham shirt.
Yeah, so but what, got, no, what's going to be worth something though?
I've got a Messi shirt signed.
Is it?
Argentina one.
There you go, right? Yeah.
I've got a biscuit tin from India, which is basically themed around.
Go on, keep going. This sounds great.
Which is themed around the Sri Jarsovis film.
Jarsovis.
Do
you know what else I got? I got the Man United signed shirt from when they won the Champions League with Ronaldo in it. I got one of those.
That's worth a bit.
That's worth a bit. I got the Liverpool Champions winning shirt. My brother's got that.
Oh, okay, fine.
I got a...
he supports Chelsea.
Yeah, I got a Barcelona... No, my brother supports Liverpool.
Okay, fine.
Got Barcelona Champions winning shirt.
This guy's got it all.
You've got enough to have a room in your house. Yeah.
Do you know what? I need to frame them all. Yeah. They're just on hangers.
You've
got
to frame it.
It costs about £300 to frame it.
Yeah, that's what I haven't. They're still on hangers. But I got them all. Yeah, they're there.
I got a Virat Kohli signed
box. Yes.
A box. Yeah, because it was a gift box with his chocolate in it, and I've still got it, that he never launched in the end. So it's called Virat's 1-8 chocolate. 1-8 is his thing.
Oh, he didn't launch it?
No. It launched temporarily, and then they didn't carry it. But like a protein chocolate thing and all that.
That'd be worth saying.
It's got to be, right? All that. And then I've got Garbage Patch Kids cards.
They're
originals.
Good. They're good.
That's from the 80s. He-Man from the 80s.
I've got that.
But not in the box.
No, I've got He-Man from the 80s. So I've got Mask.
They're apparently a few hundred quid each.
And I've got all those, do you remember those, not tacos, but yeah, I think they were called tacos. You know, you used to get them in the Walker's crisp packets.
Oh, kitty in my pocket.
No.
Pogs.
Like pogs. Pogs. And I've got the whole album because I collected all of them.
Yeah, see, that's going to be worth money.
Do you reckon it will be?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Watch this show because it'll... Honestly, it'll tickle you.
Oh, sorry. I want to run one other thing past you because I'm hoping someone might be listening and go, oh, actually, that's good. So when I was 13, I went to Czechoslovakia on a school play, right?
Okay.
Like they took all of us there because we did animal.
A school play?
Yeah, Animal Farm is a play.
Oh.
Not that Animal Farm. like the Animal Farm, George Orwell's story, which is all about Russia and Soviet Russia and leaders and all that. It's got underlining, but it's all about set on a farm with animals, right? So we're going to play. And obviously, this was pre the kind of the breakup. So there was Czechoslovakia as a country.
Yeah.
And I've got, and I went, what's Czechoslovakia known for? And they went, our crystal vases.
Oh.
Right? That's what someone said.
Yeah.
Someone said, if you get a crystal vase, it'll always be special.
Right.
From So I've got a Czechoslovakian high-grade crystal vase,
which
I've kept all these years.
Wow.
And I remember once I got really annoyed because my missus found it and put flowers in it. And I was like, no. I got this when I was 13.
Don't do that.
I'm 47, and the country doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
That's got to be worth something.
People still have like do you know the first iPhone, the first ever model of it?
Yeah.
People still have them sealed with all
box.
The... And do you know how they... Because obviously now someone needs to authenticate that to say that it's really in there.
Yeah.
There was a part in the show where they had to put them through scanners to look
X-rays.
And they had to look at it like 3D. And one of the parcels, it had like bricks in it. It wasn't even the phone.
Wow.
Honestly, it's so good. Watch it. It's interesting.
Wow.
Very good.
King of collectibles.
All right. Things we've learned then.
Things we learned.
I'm going to go first because mine's a silly... Because I've been living in a bubble of like just stages and shows and all that. So, but this morning, you can work out where I was for breakfast at Glasgow Airport when I left at 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning. It feels surreal to think this morning I woke up...
You were in Scotland.
Yeah. Man. And here we are, 10 o'clock at night, whatever it is now, here. Anyway, when did Greggs start?
Oh.
When? Because it says, been serving great food since.
There's loads of them up there.
2000.
No, it started, it referenced Newcastle on the wall, because it had it, right?
So 2000.
2000.
That was a rubbish guess.
Okay, how far back do you even remember seeing a Greggs?
Well, I remember seeing a Greggs when I was maybe six, five.
No. So what, I was 30 odd years ago.
Yeah.
No, no.
Yeah, yeah. But there weren't many of them.
No,
like, there was literally only one.
Percy Ingle.
I'm
going to
stick with 2000.
2000? So no, what year were you going to say then?
Yeah, I'll say about 30 years ago.
Right. I really remember seeing him the last, say, 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Right. No, there were. I remember there was like one, and I'll tell you where it was, because I used to go and stay at my cousin's house in Edmonton, just up here. And there's one in Edmonton Green, at Greggs.
Right, yeah.
Okay. And that was when I was about six.
Oh, okay. Wow. So even then, 30 years, yeah? So you're saying 1995?
Yeah.
And you said 2000. Okay, so you're not a million miles away when you're saying that, right? 1939.
Yeah, I can believe that.
And I was like, you know, I sat there this morning half asleep having an omelette roll and a cup of tea. And I went, I'll tell you what I've got a message. The reason why I chose this little fact is they spent 60 years ticking along.
Yeah.
And now they've blown up all over the country.
Yeah.
So they spent 60 years that business was run not being the Greggs that we know it to be today.
Yeah, no. So we've got 55 years.
Exactly. This podcast is going to be appreciated. Our sausage is not ready yet.
Yeah, we're not nowhere near the sizzle yet.
No, exactly. You think that vegan sausage is good? You went to what Kedge serves you up in 60 years' time.
Yeah, oh my God. Oh. Bangers.
And mash.
Yeah.
He'll be mashed.
Okay, well, mine's food orientated as well this week. And that is that, you know, when the famous dosa came into India, when did it come into existence?
Whenever you get off the plane, you go, here's a dosa.
No, the dosa is basically found to be dated back to the 6th century.
Okay, who would have brought... Has it always been Indian?
I think I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
I
thought
it might be like a Persian. But the potato...
The masala came later.
The potato only came to India in the 16th century.
Yeah.
So for almost 1,000 years, 1,000-year gap, there was no masala dosa.
Masala dosa, yeah.
There was just dosa.
There was just dosa.
So what, you have it like a crisp?
Yeah, we just stick into some bar, and it was just boring.
Then
the masala dosa came years later.
I'm not picking on you. What is the actual fact? The fact is that
it took 1,000 years before the masala dosa came about.
Before they stuffed your dosa.
Before the dosa went masala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like that Geordie. Like I just said, you have to wait 60 years for Greggs to find that Geordie with the audience, with the crowd. Yeah.
So before the masala was put into the dosa, 1,000 years
ago. And
we've got another... 994
nearly.
Till we find maybe the fourth person for this.
And it's funny, because I think if you were on blankety blank and you went masala something, it wouldn't be unusual to say dosa. Masala blank.
Only if you got Asian people on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. So I'm saying the two go hand in hand.
Oh, absolutely.
Masala and dosa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
You can say anything else.
Yeah.
Go, let's do blankety blank.
Blankety blank with masala. Masala blank.
Masala blank. Okay. Zone.
Zone. Okay, that's a restaurant.
That's a good one,
Yeah.
I would go
chai. Okay. I'd go fries.
Masala fries.
Or masala chips.
Yeah.
Masood.
What?
Masala Masood. That was the thing's character, wasn't it? In EastEnders.
Was that his name?
Yeah, he had an Indian restaurant called Masala Masood.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, fish.
Yeah. What?
Huh? Masala fish. Yeah. That's it. I think we're out.
Omelette.
Masala omelette.
No, masala beans. That's what I was thinking.
Masala beans.
Yeah. Because I think...
I wonder what the
masala
most
Coke.
Common...
Masala
I wonder
Coke.
What the most common answer would be. Let's do that. I'm going to do that as a little
Instagram. Little poll. Yeah. All right. Masala something. Blankety blank. Blankety blank.
Blankety blank. Right. Can I go next?
Please. Yes. You are next. You're the only one left.
What is the shortest sentence in the English language?
Oh. I.
No.
A.
The shortest sentence must be. Yeah. By definition B. of sentence, it B. would have to be more than one word.
No.
No.
No. B. B.
No. What does B mean?
B-E.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Like to be.
No.
Am.
No.
You.
One.
No.
You. Yeah.
It's a two-letter word.
It.
No. In. What's it? What does it mean?
But it's got to be a sentence.
It's got to be a sentence. So it's got be like, you can't just say it. What does it mean?
So why would you say? You wouldn't say Seth in.
Seth is very angry today.
Say, oh, me up.
Go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go.
I was going to say, it's got to be something that you can just say.
Yeah, something to do.
Because you can't go. Because I was thinking in.
I thought you would have got that ages ago, boys.
Yeah. Ages are... Go. No, we got it now. Short it, and that's an official sentence. One word.
Officially,
I think that's the best start of the week. I'm going to give you that.
But you can say on.
No, you know. On.
On. Like, ages, we got on.
Like, but you would have to put go eyebrows then. Up with it.
On.
On.
Donut. On.
Yeah, whereas you can just go. Go.
In.
In it.
Go.
In.
No.
No.
Your parents would shout in.
Like, get in the house now.
Oh, like that. I thought you meant like rounders.
No.
No,
that's all because if you say in, it's because of an action's happened. With go, you're telling someone to do something. It's a sentence. Go. Yeah. It's okay. A direction.
No, but you're saying to somebody go in.
Then that's two words.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in. No.
No, it's just go. Leave it there. That's the fact. Okay. One other thing I think we should all learn is, I don't know what's going to happen over the next few months, but we've sold the house. That's it. It's happening. We're moving out. I think we might get one more, but it's all moving.
Can you please tell us when it's the last time? Because you never know when it's going to be the last time.
Bro,
and then
I don't know. This is the thing I learned this week. I came back from the bank.
But
weekend.
I don't want this to be the last one like this.
So all the solicitors, everyone saying it's moved on. This is where it's at. No, we're now waiting for this. When can you come in for exchange and completion? I'm like,
I just think the listeners are going to be sad because like they're moving as well.
Well, technically, this garage.
Everyone is so used to this.
This is like Wayne's World.
Yeah. You know, this is where it started.
Exactly.
We need to take a picture of this background.
We can superimpose it.
We can fake it. Sad. I think the listeners will be more sad than we will.
No, they won't be. No one's
they
sad.
They won't be sad because you know what? We started in there.
Yeah.
We went out there.
Yeah.
Into the garden.
We moved into the other part of the
living room. We've done lounges, kitchen island, garden, the other lounge, and... That's
here we are.
There's nowhere else. If we could have gone to the toilet, we would have. Yeah. I think the garage is stuck because we can make as much noise as we want. Yeah, okay. But I have to factor that into the new house, which we're not going to move straight into because it needs some work. Yeah. So no. I'm going to be at my mum and dad's for a few months.
Can we do it there?
No, you can't do it.
Come on. Why?
Bro, they're in there. They've been through enough in their life.
We'll get your dad on.
We'll get your uncle to jump on.
Exactly. That's what I'm worried about.
This might be our Greg's moment.
Yeah.
Your mum will make some wicked other burritos. Oh, my days. Brilliant. On it.
My dad's jokes are highly inappropriate. Like, they're worse than Kedge's. So, no. On that.
Worse than that?
Yeah. I've got to pack my life up last 10 years into boxes and get rid of stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be a crazy fun few weeks, but I thought I'd share that with you. And actually, by the time we see you at the live podcast on the 14th of September. Those that are coming to King's Place for the London Podcast Festival.
Live guest booked.
Keep your eyes peeled to our Instagram over the next, I'd say, 2 weeks, because there might be a last few bunch of tickets that are going to be available.
They're going to be available.
I'm telling you, it's only going to be
three or four,
maybe six at the max. It's literally, we're going to put it out and say they're there. Okay. Whoever gets them first,
Oasis or Brownload.
Come on.
Whatever you're into.
It's only one decision.
How much are our tickets?
Oh, I can't remember now. 14 quid.
14. Imagine if we sold Oasis numbers of tickets at 14 quid.
Oh, we'd be rich.
Oh, one day. We just need to fall out first.
Yeah.
Oh, Kedge, I hate you.
Yeah, I know. I hate you guys as well.
We're never going to talk again.
Yeah.
We'll find out what happens next week. Laters, everyone.
Laters.